Grace, peace, and mercy from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Walking on the water, a miracle. Imagine what would happen today if there were such a miracle. We'd have headlines in every newspaper. The television media would go crazy trying to find somebody to interview that had witnessed the event. In my lifetime, I've had two miracles. The first miracle was the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team beating the Soviet Union. That was truly something unexpected and a surprise. The second one was in 2016, my Chicago Cubs won the World Series. Of the two, only one was a divine event, and that certainly had to be the Cubs. So what can we learn from our lesson today? Well, first of all, let's talk about this fellow Mark. Exactly who is this individual? Well, we know some things about Mark. We know, for example, that he was the first gospel to be written. We know that he was an apostle of Peter. And the first reference of him is in the book of Acts, where Paul takes John Mark along with him on his first missionary journey. But something happens. At Perga, he's going to Pamphylia, and all of a sudden Mark decides that he can't go along. He's got to return to Jerusalem. Now, we don't know exactly why, but biblical scholars tell us that he was either homesick or perhaps he had some sort of a medical problem that he needed to go back to Jerusalem and get treated. Paul didn't take that too favorably, and he refused to take him on his second missionary journey. But his cousin Barnabas took him to Cyprus instead. In true Christian fashion, Paul forgave John Mark. And later on in his second letter to Timothy, he writes, "Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry." So we know that Paul recognized that there was some value in having Mark along. Well, there's some lesser things that maybe you might not know about Mark. Bible scholars speculate that he was the son of a Mary that lived in Jerusalem. And it is thought that Jesus and the disciples had their last supper in the house of Mary in an upper room. Mark was schooled in his understanding of the life and ministry of Jesus from the sermons of Peter. And he wrote his gospel after Peter's martyrdom in Rome in AD 67. He had several themes in his gospel, the first of which he says right from the very beginning, is that Jesus is the Son of God. Another theme he has is that there is a messianic secret. Now, what he means by that is that as we read Mark's gospel, every time Jesus will heal somebody or raise the dead or cast out a demon, he tells them to go, but don't tell anybody. We're not quite sure why, but John gives us a little bit of knowledge about that because it's not quite time for Jesus. He knows that he is making some problems with the Jewish leaders and that they are conspiring against him. But he still has work to do on this earth. And so he doesn't want to make too big a thing of it so that the Jewish leaders accelerate events. He knows he's going to the cross, but not quite yet. Mark's gospel is the shortest of the gospels. It was probably used by both Matthew and Luke as a source document to write theirs. Now, of course, Matthew could embellish with a lot of things that were not quite explicit in Mark's gospel because he was there. He actually witnessed those events. For example, Matthew's gospel is the only one that talks about Peter asking for Christ to allow him to come to him on the water. Matthew provides additional information. Mark's gospel was written for the Gentiles. We know that because he describes the Jewish traditions in much more details than any other gospel does. He also emphasizes the fact that the disciples were slow to recognize the divinity of the Christ. Mark's gospel is action-packed. And this chapter of Mark, chapter 6, is no exception. It starts off with Jesus in his hometown of Nazareth, where he goes to the synagogue and he reads the scrolls and implies that he is the Messiah. His hometown folks don't take it lightly. They want to grab him and they want to throw him off of a cliff. But Jesus kind of gets out of town quietly, so that will not happen. The next event we find is that he sends his apostles away two by two, and he gives them the authority to cast out demons. Next, he talks about the death of John the Baptist. And as in last week's gospel, we read about the feeding of the 5,000. Now, in this last portion of chapter 6, we see Jesus walking on the water. So as we review this event, Jesus and his disciples had just finished this miraculous thing of feeding these 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus sends his disciples away. And again, John amplifies as to why he did that. He did that because the people were talking about making him king. And he didn't want that to influence his disciples. So he sent him away and told him to get in a boat and row across the Sea of Galilee to Bethsaida. Jesus is trying to balance things between earth and heaven here. He knows that he still has work to do. He knows that the Jewish leaders are conspiring against him. And each and every miracle that he performs brings them more and more hatred against him. He knows that he's going to the cross. Not just yet. His work is not quite finished. So he withdraws to the mountains that are to the east of the Sea of Galilee to pray. We could speculate that that prayer was probably very similar to the one that he said in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, let this cup pass from me. Now let's talk about the Sea of Galilee for a minute. That sea has some of the most unpredictable and destructive weather as you can imagine. And so we see the disciples encountering that type of weather, and they're struggling against the wind. They're not making any headway to get across. They've been at it all night long. They're at the last watch before dawn. So they're fatigued. They're tired. And all of a sudden, they see an apparition on the water walking towards them. Immediately, they think it's a ghost. They don't recognize it as the Christ. Well, this is not an unusual occurrence. I mean, we know that sometimes Jesus hides himself from those that he encounters. Mary Magdalene, for example, at the tomb, looked in and saw two angels. And as she looked out, she saw somebody who she thought was the gardener. Didn't recognize him as the Christ. But when he called her name, she immediately knew that it was the Christ. In the same way, Jesus on the water tells his disciples, "It is I," and they immediately recognize him. We could learn a lot from this experience because each and every one of us has what we call storms of life. Something always goes wrong in our lifetime. And if it hasn't, stand by, because it will. The disciples had a storm of life too. In our Old Testament lesson this morning, it was from the book of Genesis and talked about Noah. Well, if we go to the very beginning of the book of Genesis, we see that God was hovering over the water. Isn't this a very similar experience to what we see in Mark's gospel today? Just like Genesis, just like in our reading this morning, Jesus comes to save. In the case this morning, he comes to save his disciples. You know, we live in interesting times. There's a Chinese curse that says, "May you live in interesting times." First century Christians also lived in interesting times. They were persecuted. Everywhere they went, they were persecuted. Whether it was the Jews, the Romans, made no difference. They were persecuted. We also live in interesting times. In our society today, we have forces that are trying to pull us away from each other, to put us into tribes that are at war with each other. That's not what God has created. It makes no difference to God whether we're Jew or Greek, male or female, Protestant or Catholic. Jesus calms the waves with the storms of our life. He alone can give us peace. Just like the disciples, he'll give us a safe harbor if we have faith in his promise. The real miracle in our chapter today from Mark is the fact that Jesus not only saves the disciples, but he will save us as we go through those storms of life. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.